96.9, The Legend is your connection to classic country legend. But Digio Strategies has other options too. News Talk 103.9 is your source for America's top news and entertainment shows, like Rick and Bubba in the Morning, Glenn Beck from 9 till 11 a.m., and Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, middays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sean Hannity, Lars Larson, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and others fill your day with the latest news and views from America's top conservative voices. America at Night and Coast to Coast AM keep you company and connected throughout the night. Plus, Fox News, the Alabama Radio Network, and Wiregrass Daily News keep you informed with national, international, state, and local news. And with more musical choices like All the Hits, 106.7 KMX, Today's Country, 95.5 WTVY, and Music 107.7. Digio Strategies gives you more choices and more variety. Listen on air, online, and on our apps. 96.9 The Legend is just the beginning.
You're listening to The Philip Jordan Show.
Well, everybody, welcome into the Philip Jordan Show. I'm your host, Philip Jordan, in studio host and producer of That's the Most Football on 96.9, The Legend, and Auburn writer for Last Word on college football. On this edition of the show is a bonus edition of the podcast. I am joined by Eli Savoy. He is the voice of the Memphis Showboats, who will be playing the Birmingham Stallions on Saturday at 11 a.m. on ABC. Me and Eli will talk about his process on Saturday. What will Saturday look like getting ready for the broadcast? His thoughts on the UFL, the merger between the XFL and USFL. We are halfway through the season. We'll also jump into what's up with the Showboats and preview that matchup with the Birmingham Stallions. Everybody, join me on the show. We're joined by the voice of the Memphis Showboats. You can check them out every morning, 7 to 10 a.m., over on Sports 56 there in Memphis. But as I said, he's also the voice of the Memphis Showboats. And Eli, I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I know we had you on last year, talked about the Memphis Showboats. I think they were coming off a game against Birmingham last year when we chatted. This time they are playing against Birmingham this Saturday, 11 o'clock Central Time over on ABC. But for you, I'm always interested in the broadcast side of things, how it works and everything. What will Saturday look like for you on it from a broadcast standpoint?
Well, it's the hard work is all the week leading up to it and doing charts and getting everything ready for the game. It's a little easier this week because it's a team we've already played. The fact that we just played Birmingham, I already know players, things like that, as far as that goes. So it's a little easier to put charts together. But then and Saturday will be get there early. I meet with coach right when they get to the stadium. Kind of talk to him a little bit, go over any, you know, if there's any questions about certain things that I have with him. And then from there, I just kind of hang out, usually down on the field a little bit, chat with some players, kind of get an idea of what the feeling is, all that stuff. And then once we get half hour before the game, we go on with our pregame and we go from there. And hopefully this one goes a little bit better than the last trip, the trip down to Birmingham, because that did not go well for the Showboats.
Yeah, that was the first home game for the Birmingham Stallions at home that year. So it's going to be fun. Not a long trip for Birmingham, I know, heading over to Memphis. Just overall, you know, obviously the UFL, the merger, you know, everybody knows we're halfway through the season, the merger between USFL and XFL. What's been your overall thoughts on the league so far and then the whole merger business?
Well, certainly I think, you know, coming when all the news happened, certainly the most obvious thing that I think everybody thought was, wow, this is going to make the level of play that much better when you're taking a pool of 16 teams between the two leagues, and you're shrinking that down to 8. So you're taking the player pool down from 800 guys to 400 guys. It obviously improves the level of play, the depth of these teams. You started seeing that in like training camp. I'm seeing guys who were like all USFL players who are getting cut and not even making teams now. And you're like, wow, like this shows how good this is. I looked at the Showboats roster and I was like, wow, like we have improved. It looks like a ton from last year because we're just, you're just weeding out some guys and putting in new guys in their place. So, but everybody did that. You know, you look at your roster like, wow, we're way better. But then you go, well, everybody else did the same thing. So they're all way better as well. But, and I think it's lived up to that. I think the level of football is better than what it was in either the USFL or the XFL. I think it's been good football. You know, the unfortunate part of the league, the way it stands right now, is the fact that all of the teams are in Arlington and then they fly in and play their games and they fly right back out. It's not great for fans. It's not great for the team. The team doesn't want to have to travel every single week. They would love to have five games in their backyard where they didn't have to play, take a trip, but it's just the way it is for this year. That's the unfortunate part of it. Hopefully down the road next year, hopefully, or at least beyond that, they're able to get into the home markets, all of those things. But you know, I think overall the level of football's been good. Television wise, it's doing pretty good numbers. You know, the challenge the league is facing right now is getting fans to come out and support the teams in person. And it's tough. You know, it's just that's going to be a thing that you just got to build over time. And hopefully as the league does continue and the teams are in those cities year after year, they start building that following and the attendance numbers start to grow.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously the XFL teams were used to that last year. They were used to the Arlington Hub. Mm-hmm. It was kind of business as usual for them flying into the city the day or two before the game. But last year, you know, especially like with Birmingham, Memphis, you know, Michigan, even Houston, even though it's a different mascot name, the Gamblers, now the Roughnecks. I do kind of wonder the lack of fan engagement during the week kind of hurts with the attendance. That's kind of one thing, especially with those teams, because you were used to seeing, I'm sure everybody – people and fans in Memphis were used to seeing certain players around. Same thing with Birmingham, Houston, Michigan. That's kind of one thing I do hope, and I think you're alluding to maybe a lot in the future, these teams are stationed at their home cities. They're there because that's going to be a big part about getting fans out. It's just being in the city throughout the week, not just on game day.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, when you can see the team in town on a daily basis, whether they're practicing or you just see them somewhere, like that, certainly because they're part of you. They're part of the community, so you feel much more of an attachment. Now, St. Louis is showing that it's not required to have that in order to draw fans to games. As you said, in the XFL, they did it last year. Now in the UFL, they're doing it again. But they're drawing, you know, 30,000-40,000 fans. So it's not required to have the team in the market full time for fans to buy in. St. Louis has bought in. Can these other teams kind of figure out what that St. Louis secret is that has made that connection work so good and start doing that? Again, maybe it's not 30,000 to 40,000, but can those numbers start getting up to 10, 15, 20,000 in some of these other markets? And then again, as it goes, you hope to continue to grow.
Yeah. And that is the hope. And like I said, you know, St. Louis is just on a different level. I mean, I know they feel, you know, really negative feelings toward the NFL and losing their football team. So they're saying, hey, we should still have a pro football team here. I know coming, and I'm honestly surprised Memphis's record, 1-4. I came into the year looking at, okay, they got Case Cookus. And then and John DeFilippo did a great job last year with New Orleans coming in. What's been conversating with him when you get the chance to talk with him versus the coach staff from last year?
He's great. I mean, I love John DeFilippo. He's one of those guys that you root for, like if you're covering the team. I mean, he cares deeply about it, cares deeply for his players. I think he certainly is a good football, really good football coach. I mean, he's been around the NFL for years, doing, you know, offensive coordinator, quarterback, whatever. I think he's a good, really good football coach, but he's just he's a really nice guy. Like he is, you know, from the get-go, from the day he got the job, he's just made himself available. So if I need to get a hold of him for something of, hey, I'm getting ready for a game and I need to know what this guy's situation is he going to play, who's start, whatever, I could text him and he's going to respond. Like he's very, he's just very available. And I think that's great. And that's, you know, having a guy like him, that's one of the unfortunate things again, of the team not being here. Cause I think if he was in the city full time, people would, and other people got to know him, like they and saw him and out, and he would be great. He would endear, people would all really love him and root for him because they would see him out at a restaurant and he would be, have no problem taking time to talk to somebody or whatever. He's just one of those guys. And so, but no, he's been fantastic. And, you know, he takes it really hard when they lose, and you know it's killing him that they're 1-4 right now. But you know, he's definitely, I think you saw last year with what he did with New Orleans. Certainly, I think he's a heck of a coach, and hopefully he can get things turned around here.
Yeah, you see that in the press conferences after the games, that how much he cares. I think you see that from the players too, because I mean, look, this past week they get down 19-0. I mean, they got within a score. I mean, obviously, you know, Michigan pulled away late, but still, that this team, you know, despite things may go wrong for them, even against St. Louis, we saw that things go wrong, and still, there's no give up with this team, and that looks like it really is a reflection of their head coach.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, every one of the players on this team loves playing for him, and that, and I think that that's, you know, it's killing them as much as it's killing him. This team, it's, you know, they were so good for that first almost two games. And I think when you, it feels like, and none of them will say it, and I don't, I mean, because it almost sounds like it's an excuse or something, but that final minute against San Antonio and what happened there, it seems like they've never quite recovered from that. It's now part of that, you came out of that playing maybe the two best teams in the league. No doubt Birmingham is one of those two best teams. And then you followed that up by going to St. Louis. So you had two road games against what may be the two best teams in the league. So it was a difficult thing coming out of that game anyway. Then you had Michigan last week back at home, got off to the terrible start there with the turnovers early, dug themselves the big hole and weren't able to dig themselves all the way out of it. But yeah, you just, the mental side of it, that San Antonio final minute, I wonder, had they held on and won that game, would things be different going forward? Obviously, we'll never know, but certainly that was such a shocking way to lose a game. I think there was certainly some hangover to that.
Yeah, because you think about it, they would have been 2-0. And say if you do lose to Birmingham and St. Louis, still 2-2 mentally looks different than 1-3. Then, you, of course, Michigan. What's the latest with the quarterback situation over Case Cookus? I know he didn't play last week, and then the week before against St. Louis, he got pulled. Is it going to be Troy Williams this weekend, or can we see Case Cookus, you think?
At this point, I do not know. I have not talked to Coach. I know he said in his media availability that, you know, that right at this point, they're just kind of monitoring and evaluating on Cookus health-wise where he is. He was cleared last week, so he could have played, but they elected to go with Troy Williams. And Troy, you know, he got off to the bad start. He had the fumble on the first drive. He had an interception on a really was a bad throw. But after that, he kind of settled down and did some good things. So they have full confidence in either one of them. If I was guessing, I think it probably will be Troy Williams.
All right. So obviously, you know, Birmingham getting into this game. And as you mentioned, you hope it, you know, did not go the way Memphis won it last time, 33-14. Birmingham won there in Birmingham. Obviously, the sacks were a big thing in that one. Like 7-8 times Cookus gets sacked and all that stuff. Where have you, like the offensive line, where have you seen that group kind of improve? Because that was a big, I think, talking point coming out of that game, offensive line play for Memphis. Have you seen that group improve since that contest?
You know, they struggled again this past week. I think some of it, one of the things that they want to do is use running backs, tight ends, kind of chip a little bit on those to slow down the pass rush. But also, it's on the quarterbacks to get rid of the football. They just don't they felt in that first game like there were some times where the quarterback just was holding on to the football too long. And, you know, if it's not there, get rid of it. Just don't, because you to not take the sack. So I think that will be a big part of it in this one, is to make sure that they're on time with those things, but also using tight ends, running backs, chipping a little bit. And that defensive front is really, really good. And, you know, it's not easy to block them. There are some injuries on the offensive line as well. So they're not even at full strength. So I think they'll be trying to do a lot of quick passing in order to try and get rid of the football before they can get to the quarterback.
Yeah. And, you know, as we mentioned, Troy Williams, he plays really well against Michigan. You talk about the early mistakes. He threw the two interceptions with three touchdowns, 1937, 248, and having that running ability could be, like you said, key being able to get away from that. I mean, Cookus has, I believe, some mobility, but obviously not to the level of Troy Williams. Just, you know, outside of, you know, quarterbacks getting the ball out quicker, what else do you think could be key for Memphis on Saturday going against that Birmingham defense, to put some points on the board?
Well, you know, they would love to get the running game going, but they really haven't. It's been a struggle all year long. Darius Victor is getting healthier, so that's helping as far as that is concerned. But in the end, I mean, on the outside, Jonathan Adams and Daywood Davis are playmakers at wide receiver. They've got to be able to get the ball in their hands and let them make plays. And then you kind of use Sage Surratt and Vinny Papali kind of in the middle of the field as possession type guys. But in the end, man, they want to, you know, they had a couple of chances in that first game where they had deep balls that were open and they just missed them. And that's kind of something that John DeFilippo has talked about all year that has really plagued them. When they had the opportunity to make that big play, they've just missed on it. And they can't, against a team like Birmingham, you can't afford to miss those because you're not going to get many opportunities. So when that guy is open on that deep pattern, you have to hit him. And in the first game, there were two of those, I think, in the first half, if I remember correctly, where they had opportunities to hit deep balls, and the throw was the receiver was looking inside, the throw was outside, or the throw was just a little bit off target here or there, and they missed on them. And if they hit those, how is that game different? That's the thing. Like against a team like Birmingham, every single opportunity you get, you have to take advantage of it.
You know, flip on the other side, Memphis defense versus the Birmingham offense. Of course, Birmingham's playing a different quarterback. They're switching them out every other game. So I get this week would be Matt Corral week. Last time it was Adrian Martinez that Memphis saw. And of course, Birmingham wants to run the ball. They have good receivers and everything like that. When you look at the Memphis defense, what do you see as a key for them to slow down the Birmingham offense?
Well, the thing they've talked about and all week, and they talked about it after the last game, is they have to keep the quarterback in the pocket with these, because Corral, although he's not as good a runner as Adrian Martinez, like he can also get out of there. And it wasn't even Martinez running the football in that first game. He was just extending plays and then making throws from outside the pocket. And he made some great throws but their whole focus going into that game, and they didn't feel like they did it, is keeping the quarterback in the pocket. Martinez is a great runner. We know that. We've seen that. If it is him, if it's Corral, he's a great runner too. But it's even beyond that. Like I said, it's the when he just extends the play, gets out of the pocket. Now it becomes a scramble drill, and they hit a big pass out of that. You know, they had way too many explosive plays in that first game. And, you know, they had trouble guarding Deion Kane. Martinez got out of the pocket too much. So those are the things. Like, that's the number one thing they have focused on and talked about constantly, is we absolutely, with our pass rush, cannot get past the quarterback. We have to keep him in the pocket and be able because if he gets outside of containment, then we're in a whole bunch of trouble.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. I feel like it's going to be a different game than it was last time. I feel like that. I feel like it was that way last year when the two teams.
Well, last year down at Birmingham went as bad as it could go. We lost 42-2 down there. And then they came back, and the game here, the last game of the season, it went down to the final minutes. They scored a touchdown. I believe it was with like 4 or 5 minutes to go to win the game. So yeah, and last year the road versus home was a completely different thing. For the Showboat's sake, they're hoping that's going to be the case again this year. After the game here last year, now he's not there anymore, but Alex Magoo, some of the other guys, were putting on the little captain's hats that our fans like to wear here. They were kind of doing some things, so kind of created a little bit of animosity for some of those returning players that are back this year. I'm sure they remember that. The fans certainly remember some of that stuff too. So it kind of develops a little bit of a rivalry. And so, yeah, I certainly think Memphis will perform better here in front of the home fans. That was a little bit of a trap walking into their home opener where they're unveiling the championship banner and everything else. Like the Showboats kind of walked into a trap in that one. I think it certainly will be a better performance this year or this week. Now, that may not mean a win, certainly. I mean, nobody seems to know how to beat the Showboats, but at least hopefully can make it a really competitive game and give themselves that opportunity.
Yeah, so, hey, I just know from – we say it college football all the time. Them 11 a.m. kickoffs can be tricky sometimes, especially when you go on the road. We'll see. Memphis probably – hey, maybe Birmingham's not quite awake yet or all the other stuff. I have one more question for you, and it's, I didn't prep you on this question. I was reading your bio online. It says you like Alabama, the group Alabama.
Yes.
I got to ask you, what if you got to listen to one song by Alabama, where are you going with it?
One, just one song?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's no question. It's Dixieland Delight. Okay. Dixieland Delight's like my favorite song of all time.
I'm big on Roll On. That's always been one of my.
Roll On is a great song. I love, like, they've got great. I mean, I've seen them live one time, and, like, it's just amazing when you start going through their catalog, how many great songs they have that I love. But yeah, on my phone, on my all stuff, I've got. A ton of Alabama songs. Roll On is on there. Dixieland Delight, Mountain Music. Like I could go on and on. Song of the South. Like I absolutely love Alabama and their music. And I was happy to get a chance. It was just a few years ago to finally get a chance to see them live. Cause I've always been a fan of Alabama.
Oh yeah. They're great. They're great. I'm going to age myself. A lot of people don't believe I'm as old as I am. I don't know why. I'm 37. So one of my first cassettes I ever remember getting was that one with Roll On. So I guess that's always been my attachment, is that was the first one I got. That tape probably got damaged from how much I listened to it back in the day. So thankfully we have a lot of younger audience listening to this or watching this are like, what are you talking about? Cassette tapes and all that kind of stuff. A lot back in the day. That's how it was.
Yeah, that is a foreign thing to them. They have no idea what you're talking about.
I like to sometimes just say, hey, I have a VCR still packed away somewhere. It's like, what is this to? So anyways, I love Alabama. And I saw that and I said, I got to ask Eli about Alabama, because that's a mutual thing we have there. But Eli, I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun having you on talking Memphis Showboats. I appreciate you taking the time today. If the listeners, viewers want to check out online, where can they find you? And where can they check out if they want to listen to the broadcast?
The broadcasts here are locally on 98.9 FM. You can go to, I believe it's newstalk989.com for the online broadcast of that. My show that I do 7 to 10 in the mornings, that's on, you can find that online, sports56whbq.com. And we were online and on the everywhere else, on all the tune-ins and all of those other things. You can find us, social media, all that stuff. You can find the show there as well. So, but yeah, certainly appreciate it. Anytime, always more than happy to talk a little Showboats football.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have to talk to you again to talk to other stuff. I mean, you guys cover everything there in Memphis. So I have to have you on, talk about all the other stuff you're covering there as well. But I appreciate you, Eli, and I look forward to talking again sometime down the road.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for checking out this bonus edition of the Philip Jordan Show. Remember, you can follow me on social media at PJordanSEC. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review. I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can also email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com. Check out my written work over at Last Word on College Football.
Thanks for listening to The Philip Jordan Show. Subscribe to the audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch the show over at the Philip Jordan Media YouTube channel. Got a question or topic idea? Email the show at sportstalkphilipjordan@gmail.com. Join us next time for more great football talk.